She closed her eyes and tried to pull herself together.
"Which one do you like the most?" she asked finally. "Vale is the one who wears the white outfit, but I'm having trouble with her right now. She peeks out sometimes when I don't want, but then won't come when I need her. Radiant's the one who practices with the sword. I made her prettier than the others, and you can talk to her about dueling. But some of the time, I'll have to be someone who can lightweave. I'm trying to think of who she should be."
Asher's eyes, Shallan.
"Oh, well, Shallan's broken, so I think I'm trying to hide her. Like a cracked vase, where you turn the nice side towards the room, hiding the flaw. I'm not doing it on purpose, but it's happening. I don't know how to stop it."
Heroes of presents The Storm Pod, a Stormlight Archive podcast. Book 3, Oathbringer.
This is just a quick spoiler warning for Chapter 108. If you haven't caught up on your reading or you've picked the wrong episode, I beseech you to go back and make sure that you've done your reading and you've picked the right episode. We wouldn't want you to get spoiled so close to the start of a Sanderlanch. We do want you to enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sean Q, and he just admitted to me that he killed Dunny. It's Jack. What's up?
Guess what? Guess what? It should have been a live read.
I killed Dunny.
Yeah, that's what he just... So, for the record, Jack literally just said before we started recording, this should have been a live read.
Well, it's like half a live read. It could have been half live.
Yeah. Half live.
I don't know how we would have done that, but...
Half off of the pizza.
It should have been half live.
I don't know how you do half live, but
I don't know how you do it either. But this was good. This chapter was really good.
Yeah.
He just blurts that out.
He really does, doesn't he?
He just goes blurt.
He thinks it's going to help her feel better, and I guess in a way it kind of does make her feel better because now she's like, let's talk about your problems.
Well, I think that she was, you know, trying to get him to relate.
Yeah.
And then by him telling her this, it opens him up, I think, to her.
I think so too.
And then she has that opportunity, I think, to realize that she's not the only one wrestling with things.
Right. So what's more surprising to you? That he told her, or that she's like, good for you?
Yeah, good for you is actually pretty is a remarkable response.
Isn't
but
it?
here's the trouble. Who was it that said it?
Right. It could have been Vale.
That could have been Vale going, "Ah, oh, good for you."
Good for you. That's what I would have done.
And
yeah.
then you know what? Inside, Shallan is shocked in silence.
I truly feel like Shallan is present during this whole conversation. There are parts where she's not at the beginning when she's like, Shallan is broken. She's talking about Shallan like she's a kind of a character.
Oh, dude, that paragraph about the broken vase.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah,
it's
really
so
good.
Good. This chapter's got some gems.
Yeah, it's a really good chapter. Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we do. So before we jump into Honor's Path, we do have a nice page of artwork here to discuss.
Yeah, it's awesome.
On the previous page. This is some wackadoo art.
Yeah.
Like this is wild.
These are some of the Spren she sees in Shadesmar, and she's trying to draw what they look like in full, because you would think that the pieces of the Spren in white on the page are what we see in the physical world. So the circular balls, the cloud-like things, and then this ribbon
which is the tongue. But in the, right. the darker drawing is what we fully see the creatures being in Shadesmar.
Right. Well, I gotta say, I think that tardigrades are from Shadesmar.
You think so?
Yeah, I really do. Because these things are putting those things to shame.
Right.
I mean, look at this. You've got a salamander body. You've got one of those, you know, Finding Nemo fish hooky crazy angler.
Right.
Angler dangles.
Yeah.
You've got an angler dangle on it. This is a potpourri of madness.
It is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, this gaping maw with this, I mean, it's wild. It's really creative.
Yeah.
So what is this drawing on the side here? Is this Vale's drawing? Like,
this is
drawing's not too hard.
This is totally Vale.
That's her drawing, isn't it?
Yeah, because when it says drawing is easy beside it.
Drawing is easy. Here's my little man.
The handwriting is completely different.
Okay, well, so here's the question. Who is this character that she just drew?
Well, I don't know. Maybe, but there's the ghost blood symbol is right by it. The three triangles.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So who is it then? Marais?
I think maybe it's supposed to be Marais. I don't know.
Hmm. Looks like he's sporting a top knot, which I think is pretty cool.
Pretty cool. I do like the statement of drawing is easy. Like, I think that's really funny.
Drawing is easy. Yeah. I love it. No, this is great. It's wild. It's creative. Little creepazoid. Gotta say, like the manifestations, if you will, on the physical realm in Shadesmar. Yikes.
Yeah.
Gets a little interesting.
Yeah, they're a little creepy. And we've been told they're dangerous.
Hmm.
Really cool.
Okay, well, more on that subject later. Mm-hmm. Chapter 108, Honor's Path.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a good one.
It's a good chapter for sure.
Chemorish. The Dust Mother has some of the most varied lore surrounding her. The wealth of it makes sorting lies from truths extremely difficult. I do believe she is not the Night Watcher, contrary to what some stories claim. So, of course, I have to believe that it is the Night Watcher.
Of course, I'm going to completely dismiss Hesse.
Of course, I'm going to absolutely think that Chemorish is the Night Watcher. And I dare say to you, prove me wrong.
I mean, we don't know anything about Chemorish. This is like the first time. Maybe we've heard Dust Mother before, but...
I think Dust Mother we've had. I don't think Chemorish.
But Chemorish we've never heard before, I don't think.
Well, no.
I think that Buzzkill Joe will probably enlighten us maybe about Chemorish in the info dump, I would assume.
Ooh,
Yeah, this is a rare unmade we don't know about.
Okay, so we've got a chemtrail going with Chemorish. We jump into the chapter here. Shallan sketched in her notepad as she stood on the deck of the Honorspren ship, the wind of its passing ruffling her hair. Next to her, Kaladin rested his arms on the ship's railing, overlooking the ocean of beads.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we might hear a little Celine Dion.
Near... far, I'm in Shadesmar.
That's right, you are. Their current vessel, the Honor's Path, was faster than Iko's merchant ship. It had mandras rigged not only at the front, but also to wing-like rails jutting from the sides. Ah, so it's a little, these rails in the sides, so it's a little bit, what's the word? It's a little bit water world here.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We've got a little fancy pontoon action
I just want to say something real quick. You mentioned Waterworld. This is just an aside here. I've never not loved Waterworld. I've always loved Waterworld. I saw it
so
in the theater.
I
thought it was fantastic. Yeah. I'm not one of the people that were like, oh, 10 years later, you know what?
Worst
I'll give
movie
that movie
ever.
We fucking loved it. And we convinced one of our buddies in high school to run a D&D game that was mostly Pirates and Waters because we fucking loved Waterworld. Everyone wanted to be an aquatic elf after, you know, to try to mimic Kevin Costner in that movie.
Right.
Fucking amazing. Love that movie. let's say.
Well, we are definitely I think, in a minority.
Yes.
But that's okay. It's a great place to be. Okay, so these pontoon, these rails jutting from the sides, it had five decks. So this ship is amazing to allow to sort of form in your mind. Five decks, including three below for crew and storage. Mm-hmm. But those were mostly empty. It felt like a war vessel intended to carry troops, but which didn't currently have a full complement. The main deck was similar to the top deck of human ships, but this craft also had a high deck running down its center from prow to stern. Narrower than the main deck, it was supported by broad white pillars and probably offered an excellent view. Shallan could no more than guess, as only the crew was allowed up there.
Right.
At least they'd been let out. Shallan and the others had spent their first week on board locked in the hold.
Right.
Like, and what we're about to learn is even
crazier.
Immediately
prisoners.
Immediately prisoners.
Yeah.
The Honor Spren had given no explanation when, and finally the humans in Pattern had been released and allowed to move on deck so long as they stayed off the high deck and did not make nuisances of themselves. Sill, though, remained imprisoned.
Yeah.
So yeah. What is so special about her?
Well, we kind She's of get ancient... an idea of it, right? We kind of get an idea of why. I mean, I don't want to like, skip ahead here, but...
We get some info on...
Yeah, we do get some info. Kaladin makes some really good points then, though. You know, like, when he's trying to, like, get her freed and stuff, he makes some really valid points. Like, listen, even the Stormfather said it's okay. Like...
Right.
You know what I mean? If you can't take his word, then, you know? Yeah, this is really cool. I love that they're on this giant yacht. You know, this is Yacht Rock.
It's pretty
cool. This is like, you know what I mean?
It's very Duran Duran. Look here, Shallan tips her sketchbook back towards Kaladin. Pattern says there's an Honor Spren stronghold near Carbranth in our world. They call it Unyielding Fidelity.
Cool.
We've got to be heading there. We went southwest after leaving Celebrant. While we were in the hold, Kaladin said softly, I saw a sea of tiny flames through the porthole. A town on our side? That was here, Shallan said, pointing at her map. See where the rivers meet? Just southwest of the lake? There are towns there at our side. The river peninsulas should have blocked our way, but the Spren seemed to have cut a canal through the stone. We wove east around the icing river and then swung west again. So you're saying, well, we're right about here, heading towards Carbranth across the Frostlands.
So...
Kaladin rubbed his chin. Yeah.
So she's in the Frostlands again.
Right.
Right? It's so cool, this, like, the how Sanderson just kind of brings characters back in circles sometimes, or maybe a spiral, because we're not really at the same spot we started out at with a complete circle, but we're very close to it, so it keeps spiraling, not to invoke Nine Inch Nails or anything, no downward spiraling.
Well, she's on the opposite side of it.
Yeah. So yeah, it's an inverted circle. I don't even know. It's definitely not a perfect circle, to quote another band. But I really love the fact that she's traveling this way again, but like in a completely different way. She's in Shadesmar now. It's just, I really love this stuff.
He'd spent their first day of freedom arguing with the other Honor Spren, which had ended with him being locked up for another 2 days. I like this.
Yeah.
Arguing with him for her freedom. I like that Kaladin stands up to the Honor Spren.
Me too.
Pushes it back.
Me too. It's what Adolin did for him.
That's right. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Kaladin, Shallan says, they need to let her out, he says. Prisons are terrible for me. They'll be worse for her. Well, then help me figure out a way off this ship. Thalen City, he says. If we continue this direction, we'll eventually pass just north of it. Just north, in this case, meaning more than 300 miles away from it, in the middle of a bead ocean. Well, it'd be far closer than we've been to any other Oathgate, he said. And if we can get the ship to swing south a little, we could maybe get to the coast of Longbrow's Straits, which will be stone on this side. Or do you think we should still be trying for Azure's phantom perpendicularity in the Horneater Peaks? She drifted off. He spoke with such authority, such a compelling sense of motion. I don't know, Kaladin. Well, we're heading in the right direction, he says. I saw it, Shallan. We just need to continue with the ship a few more days and then find a way to escape. We can hike to the Oathgate on this side, and you can transfer us to Thalen City. It sounded reasonable. Well, except for the fact that the Honor Spren were watching them, and the fact that the Fused knew where they were now, and were probably gathering forces to give chase, and the fact that they had to somehow escape from a ship in the middle of a sea of beads, reach the shore, and then hike 200 miles to reach Thalen City.
How do you feel about Kaladin having been right about Thalen City? He had this vision. They were like, we don't know who it's from. We don't know, like, we can trust that. And now we kind of know that Dalinar is probably going to be in Thalen City because of his changed of tactics. He's not the kind of general that will, you know, command the troops from Urithiru. He'll be there where it matters most. How do you feel now that we're back with Kaladin and Kaladin's still like, I still think we need to go to Thalen City? And before it was like, well, Kaladin seems to have a hunch or he had a vision. But now we as readers kind of know that it's more likely that this is happening now. How does that make you feel about still resisting it?
Everyone's still resisting Kaladin's direction?
Yeah, because like now, like we could have been them before going, well, Cal, we don't really know for sure. But now we as readers kind of know for sure that something's going to go down at Thalen City. If his vision's right, he does need to be at Thalen City. Something big is about to happen, according to what Dalinar thinks, right?
It just sort of feels like fate or the Force is guiding a few of these characters.
Right.
So Dalinar's instinct when he's uncovering in the previous chapter how this can't be right. They can't be going for Vidnar here. It's got to be another target. Something that makes more sense. And right. so rationalizing through that, yeah, like it could have been his tactics, his instincts, his thinking it through. But Kaladin getting the same kind of sense of things, I don't know, like whether it's the use of visions or whether Kaladin did Kaladin get a sense of Thalen City from a vision? Is that how it first came to him?
Yeah, when he touched that orb, the crystal ball, I guess we have to assume this, what it was like, he saw Dalinar in trouble, surrounded by 9 shadows. And then he saw the outline of a city, but he didn't know what city it was until he described it to Shallan. And she's like, yeah, that's Thalen City. I remember because I drew it after we went there, you and I. And so she like, so Shallan has like this photographic memory, right? So when he's like, oh, the peaks, like the, you know, the buildings look kind of like this, the outline. Oh, and she's the one who remembered. Yeah, that's Thalen City.
That's Thalen City. So the way I feel about it is, you know, if it ends up happening that they get together, I just kind of feel like it's fate, the Force nudging these characters along.
Right.
Which is kind of cool. In some ways, you could construe that it's maybe a little contrived.
But you've pointed out since like chapter 3 of this series that it may not be the Force, but it is the wind that pushes them.
But it is the wind. Yeah, the wind. Yeah.
Like that was something that you picked up on really, really early. And yeah, that the wind is there to kind of nudge
Kings.
People, yeah, in the right direction. So.
Yeah, so maybe that's just it, is that, you know, the wind's blowing this along a little bit, which is really cool, actually, now that I sort of come back to that. I don't think it's really contrived, per se. When you're reading things like this, I feel like it's not going to happen.
Right. That they're not going to get there, like, or that the
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean, I would be really surprised if it did. If Dalinar and Kaladin are in the same place at the same time and emerge with the band back together facing yeah. something, if that happens, wow, that'll be a surprise, actually.
Hmm.
Because I anticipate that it will not go down that way.
That's interesting.
Because
most stories, this looks like it's setting it up for a big team up at the end.
I know. But I would also add that in drama, certainly, you tease, and then you deny.
Right.
Like, the only way that you would follow through is if you have one hell of a great outcome of putting them back together.
That's true. And we kind of had that already.
And if you do have that, then...
We had that in Words of Radiance, right? Cal was kind of separate from everyone, and he had mm-hmm. to say the third ideal in order to heal himself and then be able to fly to the Shattered Plains to come to the rescue.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. yeah.
So we'll see. Could have something to do with the fourth ideal.
Well, we know that Syl said something to him before about being close. Remember?
About being close?
Yeah, not last chapter, yeah. but before.
Yeah.
Syl said something like, "You're close," and she's like, "Can't you just tell me?" And she's like, "You know, that's not how it works, but you're close."
Mm-hmm.
So
I thought it was in this chapter, but yeah,
is it? Maybe it is in this chapter. Maybe I'm remembering. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe it is in this chapter.
Well, let's keep going. Okay, let's keep going.
Yeah.
All of that could fade before Kaladin's passion, all but the worry that topped them all, and that was, could she even make the Oathgate work?
Right.
She couldn't help feeling that too much of this plan depended on her. Yet those eyes. So she's thinking about Kaladin's eyes here.
Mm-hmm.
We could try a mutiny, Vale says. Ah, so it's Vale thinking about his eyes.
Right.
Well, maybe those Mistspren who do all the work will listen. They can't be happy always hopping about following Honorspren's orders. I don't know, Kaladin says, his voice hushing as one of these Spren made entirely of mist, save for the hands and face, walked past. Could be reckless, he says. I can't fight them all. Well, what if you had Stormlight? Vale asked. If I could pinch it back for you, what then? He rubbed his chin again. Storms, he looked good with a beard, all ragged and untamed through the face, contrasted by his sharp blue uniform, like a wild spren of passion, trapped by the oaths and codes. Wait, had that been Vale? Shallan shook free of the momentary drifting of personalities. Kaladin didn't seem to notice, though. Maybe, he says, you really think you can steal the gemstones back for us? I'd feel a lot more comfortable with some Stormlight in my pocket. Shallan swallowed. Kaladin, I don't know if... maybe it would be best not to fight them. They're Honorspren. They're jailers, mm-hmm. he said, but then calmed. But they are taking us in the right direction, if only inadvertently. What if we stole back our Stormlight and then simply jumped off the ship? Can you find a bead to make us a passage toward land like you did in Kolinar? Guess I could try. But wouldn't the Honorspren simply swing around and pick us up again? I'll think about that, Kaladin says. Try and find some beads that we can use. And he walks across the deck, passing by Pattern, who stood with hands clasped behind his back, thinking number-filled thoughts. It's awesome.
Yeah, what's that line
Kaladin
from
eventually,
the Christmas what? Thing with dreams of in their head? What's that? Dreams of gumdrops in their head or whatever yeah. it is.
I forget what it is, dude.
It's yeah. Pattern at Christmas yeah. with numbers floating around in his head.
Yeah. Oh, what's that line from that thing?
It was the night before Christmas and all through the house.
Sugar plums.
Sugar plums, that's head, right. Yeah. That's right.
Kaladin eventually settled beside Azure, speaking softly with her, probably outlining their plan, mm-hmm. such that it was. Shallan tucked her sketchpad under her arm and looked over the side of the ship. So many beads, so many souls, piled on top of one another. Kaladin wanted her to search through all of that for something helpful. She glanced toward a passing sailor, a Mistspren, who had gaseous limbs, a porcelain mask for a face, and was wearing a vest and trousers, seemed to float on a body made of swirling, indistinct fog.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way for me to get some of those beads? Shallan asks. The Mispren stopped in place. Please, Shallan asks. Aye. The sailor jogged off and then returned a short time later with the captain, a tall, imperious-looking honorspren named Notum. He glowed with soft blue-white and wore an outdated but sharp naval uniform, which was part of his substance.
Mm-hmm.
His beard was of a cut she hadn't seen before, with the chin shaved, almost like a horn eater, but with a thin mustache and a sculpted line of hair that ran from it up his cheeks and blended into his sideburns.
He looks so
you
cool.
You have a... What's that?
He looks so cool. Yeah.
You have a request, he asks? I would like some beads, Captain, to practice my art, if you please. I need to do something to pass the time on this trip. Manifesting random souls is dangerous, Lightweaver. I would not have you doing it wantonly upon my decks. Keeping the true nature of her order from him had proven impossible, considering how Pattern followed her around.
Yet again, another moment where the Spren give them away.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I promise not to manifest anything, she said. I merely want to practice visualizing the souls inside the beads. It's part of my training. He studied her, clasping his hands behind his back. Very well, he says, which surprised her. She hadn't expected that to work. He gave an order, however, and a Mispren lowered a bucket on a rope to get her some beads. Thank you, Shallan says. It was a simple request, the captain said. Just be careful. I suppose you'd need Stormlight to manifest anyway, but still, be careful. What happens if we carry the beads away too far? Shallan asks, curious, as the Mispren handed her the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
They are tied to objects in the physical realm, right?
Yeah, interesting question.
You can
here.
Carry them.
Yeah, interesting question here, yeah.
You can carry them anywhere in Shadesmar you wish, the captain said. Their tie is through the spiritual realm, and distance doesn't matter. However, drop them, let them free, and they'll work their way back to the general location of their physical counterpart.
Really, really interesting. I started thinking about,
so do you think that's going to... What's that?
Well, I started thinking about what kind of practical use you could do if you were, like, an adventuring party in D&D. And, it would be cool if you could take a bead from different locations with you. And then if you got lost and you didn't know how to get back to that location, you could release the bead and then just follow it, make its way back towards where you took it from. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah. I see what you mean. That's pretty cool.
Now, I mean, if you're just literally in the sea of beads and then you drop it and then it just goes back into the sea of beads and then you lose track of it, that's really not useful at all. But
no, it's not terribly useful.
Yeah.
You are very new to all of this. When did it begin again? Radiance and swearing ideals. Well, her mother's dead face. Eyes burned. It hasn't been going on for long, Shallan says. A few months for most of us. A few years for some. We had hoped this day would never come. He turned to march toward the high deck. Captain, Shallan asked, why did you let us out? If you're so worried about Radiance, why not just keep us locked away? It wasn't honorable, the captain said. You are not prisoners. Well, then what are we then? Stormfather only knows. Fortunately, I don't have to sort it out. We'll deliver you and the ancient daughter to someone with more authority. Until then, please try not to break my ship.
So,
I like this captain.
Me too. I really like Noman.
He's cool.
I think he's awesome. This is definitely a rewind to before. You know, she's traveling through the Frostlands now.
Mm-hmm.
She traveled through the Frostlands before. Before she got to the Frostlands in Words of Radiance, she was traveling on the ship through a body of water not too far from where she is now. And she requested something of the captain to be able to go and look at that creature in the water. And now she's requesting again from the captain of a ship for something down in the sea
in
of
the
beads.
Water. Yeah.
It's very, like, he's, and I don't mean this like as a derogatory thing. I don't mean he's recycling his ideas. He's giving us these themes back again, but in a new light, you know? It's really, really well done.
Well, it's kind of like journeying on one side of the mirror.
Right.
And then coming at it from another side.
And then you run into the Jabberwocky or whatever.
this whole Shadesmar bit is really wild.
Yeah.
I'll say that. It's definitely a trip. We get a POV change.
Mm-hmm.
As days passed, Shallan fell into a routine on the Honor Spren ship. She spent most of her days sitting on the deck near the whale. They let her have beads in plentitude to play with, but most of them were just useless things. Rocks and sticks, bits of clothing. Still, it was useful to visualize them, to hold them, meditate, and understand them. Objects had desires. They were simple desires, true, but they could adhere to those desires with passion, as she'd learned during her few attempts at soul casting. Now, she didn't try to change those desires, she just learned to touch them and to listen. She felt a familiarity to some of the beads, a growing understanding that perhaps she could make their souls blossom from beads into full-fledged objects on this side. Manifestations, they were called. Between practices with the beads, she did sketches. Some worked and some didn't. She wore the skirt that Adolin had purchased for her, hoping it would make her feel more like Shallan. But Vale kept poking through, which could be useful, but the way it just kind of happened was frightening her.
Mm-hmm.
This was the opposite of what Wit had told her to do, wasn't it?
Right.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
Kaladin spent the days pacing the main deck, glaring at Honor Spren as he passed. He looked like a caged beast, and Shallan felt some of his same urgency. They hadn't seen any sign of the enemy, not since that day in Celebrand. But she slept uneasily each night, worried that she'd wake to calls of an enemy ship approaching them. Notam had confirmed that the Voidspren were creating their own empire in Shadesmar, and they controlled cultivation's perpendicularity, the easiest way to get between the realms.
Mm-hmm.
Shallan sorted through another handful of beads, feeling the impression of a small dagger, a rock, a piece of fruit that had started to see itself as something new, something that could grow into its own identity rather than merely a part of the whole. I like that line, actually.
Mm-hmm.
What would someone see when looking at her soul? Would it give a single unified impression? Many different ideas of what it was to be her.
I like this a lot.
Yeah, I kind of like that too.
Like, what would someone see if they saw her soul? Would they see the fracture? Would they see different sides of her?
We could ask John Travolta from Pulp Fiction, because I think he saw one.
Right.
He might know.
Soul is in a suitcase.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is an interesting thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
What does your soul look like?
What does it look like?
How would you know it if you came across it? Would it give a single unified impression? Well, in Shallan's case, I'm going to say yeah. It would.
Yeah. Because they're all Shallan.
Mm-hmm. Nearby, the ship's first mate, an Honor Spren woman with short hair and an angular face, left the hold. Oddly, she was carrying Azure's shardblade. She stepped onto the main deck beneath the shadow of the high deck and went hiking toward Azure, who stood watching the ocean pass nearby. curious, Shallan pocketed the bead, representing a knife, just in case, and then left the bucket on top of her sketchbook and walked over. Nearby, Kaladin was pacing again, and he also noticed the sword. "Draw her carefully," Azure said to Boria, the first mate. As Shallan approached, "Don't pull her out all the way. She doesn't know you."
Hmm.
This is cool.
Yeah.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, it's like... It reminds me of another sword. She doesn't know you. And like, remember when Zeth pulled out Sword Nimi, and it was like just like a saying hello, like getting to know you kind of moment? I think it was actually in Edge Dancer that happened. Yeah, it's really cool.
Boria wore a uniform like a captain's, like the captain's, all stiff and no nonsense. She undid a small latch on the shard blade, eased it from its sheath a half inch, and then drew it in a sharp breath. "It tingles," she says. "She's investigating you," Azure said. "It really is, as you say," Boria said, "a shard blade that requires no spren, no enslavement. This is something else. How did you do it?" "I will trade knowledge per our deal once we arrive." Well, what's her deal?
Well, she's about to tell Shallan and Kaladin, right?
That's right. Boria snapped the blade closed. "A good bond, human. We accept your offer." Surprisingly, the woman held the weapon toward Azure, who took it. Shallan stepped closer, watching as Boria walked off toward the steps up to the high deck. "How?" Shallan asked Azure, Azure belted on the sword. "You got them to give your weapon back?" "Well, they're quite reasonable," Azure says, "so long as you make the right promises. I've negotiated for passage and an exchange of information once we reach lasting integrity." "You've done what?" Kaladin said. "What did I just hear?" "Well, I've made a deal, Stormblessed," Azure said, meeting his gaze. "I'll be free once we reach their stronghold."
Doing something on the side here.
"Yeah, we're not going to reach their stronghold," Kaladin said softly. "We're going to escape." "Well, I'm not your soldier, or even Adolin's subject. I'm going to do what gets me to the perpendicularity. And barring that, I'm going to find out what these people know about the criminal that I'm hunting."
Mm-hmm.
You'd throw away honor for a bounty? "I'm only here because you two, through no fault of your own, I admit, trapped me. I don't blame you. But I'm also not indebted to your mission." "Traitor," he said softly. Azure gave him a flat look. "At some point, Cal, you need to admit that the best thing you can do right now is go with these Spren. At their stronghold, you could clear up this misunderstanding and then move on. That could take weeks. I wasn't aware we were on a schedule. Dalinar's in danger. Don't you care about a man that I don't know? In danger from a threat that you can't define? Happening at a time you can't even pinpoint? Forgive me for not sharing in your anxiety."
She makes a lot of good points here.
A lot of good points.
Yeah.
Hard to argue with her right now.
And this is what I was kind of bringing up earlier, was that we kind of have more knowledge now that we saw we had Dalinar's chapter last episode.
Right.
So, like, they're still doubting what Kaladin is thinking. But we're like, come on, you just got to believe him. Because there is something going to happen in Thalen City.
Yeah, but this is Dalinar all over again with his visions trying to convince people.
Right. You're totally right.
This is Kaladin going through that.
Mm-hmm. You're totally right.
I mean, without proof, you just have, you have a hunch.
Yeah.
Well. I like that she made her deal. I think it shows that Azure's not willing to wait around.
Yeah, no, she's got a mission. She's about to tell us what it is here, which is awesome.
Kaladin set his jaw and then turned and stalked away, right up the steps towards the high deck. They weren't supposed to go up there, but sometimes rules didn't seem to apply to Kaladin Stormblessed. I love
so
that.
True, yeah.
Great line. Azure shook her head and then turned and gripped the ship's railing. "He's just having a bad day, Azure," Shallan says. "I think he feels anxious because his spren is imprisoned." Maybe. I've seen a lot of young hotheads in my time, and young Stormblessed feels like another color altogether. I wish I knew what it was he was so desperate to prove. Shallan nodded and then glanced at Azure's sword. You said the Honor Spren have information on your bounty? Yeah, Borea thinks the weapon I'm chasing passed through their fortress a few years ago. Your bounty is a weapon? And the one who brought it to your land? A shard blade that bleeds black smoke. Azure turned toward her. I don't mean to be callous, Shallan. I realize you're all eager to return to your lands. I can't even believe that through some tide of fortune, Kaladin Stormblessed has foreseen some danger.
So she's like, I can believe that Cal maybe has seen something, but my mission to me is way more important.
And isn't this the blade of, not Noadon. Sorry, I'm getting my names crossed here.
The Assassin in White, baby.
What's that, sorry?
The Assassin in White, baby. Bleeds black smoke.
Yeah.
This is Zeth's blade.
It bleeds black smoke.
This is Sword Nimmi. This is it,
That's
dude.
Her bounty.
Yeah, she's after that blade.
Now, I don't think she would say that the Assassin in White, that Zeth, is responsible for bringing it here.
She does not. She did not mention Zeth at all. But
no.
The one who brought it to your land, meaning
right.
From her land, from this other world. And
right.
A couple of names have come up from Sword Nimmi's mouth, I guess, if a sword has a mouth, from its sheath. He's said the name, or they have said the name, Vasher, as an old wielder of his. And he's
right.
Mentioned Vivienna.
Mm.
And then he mentioned another name that I don't really remember, a name that's an old swordmaster that said that Vasher wasn't a very good swordsman.
Oh, Zale?
No, it was... I think that we've kind of determined through our potting here that we think that maybe Vasher could be Zale, and that
right.
Zale is somehow tied to Azure somehow. So it's not a stretch to believe that maybe the one who brought it to this land could be Zale.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Shallan shivered. Be wary of anyone who claims to be able to see the future.
Yeah.
But Azure continues, even if his mission is critical, it doesn't mean mine isn't as well. Shallan glanced toward the high deck, where she could faintly hear Kaladin making a disturbance. Azure turned and clasped her hands, adopting a far-off look. She seemed to want to be alone. To Shallan trailed back toward where she'd left her things. She settled down and removed the bucket from her sketchpad. The pages fluttered, showing various versions of herself, each one wrong. She kept drawing Vale's face on Radiant's body, or vice versa. She started back into her latest bucket of beads, and she found a shirt and a bowl. And the next bead was a fallen tree branch. And this brought up memories of the last time she'd dipped into Shadesmar, freezing, near death. And on the banks of the ocean.
Right. The same voyage that keeps that keeps reminding... They keep reminding us of this, right?
Why hadn't she tried to soul cast since then? She'd made excuses, avoided thinking about it. Had focused all her attention on light weaving. She'd ignored soul casting because she'd failed. Because she was afraid. Could she invent someone who wasn't afraid? Someone new, since Vale was broken, and had been since that failure in the Kolinar market. Shallan, Adolin asks, coming over to her, are you all right? She shook herself. How long had she been sitting there?
Another...
I'm fine, she says. I'm
sorry, I don't mean to cut you off here, but that's another moment where Shallan could have been sitting there blankly, for minutes and minutes and minutes. This has happened to her many times throughout these books, where she's like, oh shit, how long have I been sitting here? Like, mm-hmm. her mind drifts.
Losing track of time.
She's losing time, for sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of point it out because it keeps happening to her.
Do you think that she loses time to another personality who does things?
Well, she knows when Vale's in charge. She knows when Radiant's in charge. So, you know what I mean?
That's my question, though. Do you think it's possible that her time lapses are another character?
Oh, you mean like a different one?
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know. Maybe.
Or is she experiencing time lapse because she's seeing the future or having some other power or vision or something that she, you know what I mean? Like yeah. some kind of a lost sort of trance or dreamlike state.
Something's happening to her in those moments.
I don't know.
It's happened too many times for it to just be this kind of nothing thing.
One-off thing that doesn't get addressed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing that'll be revealed in time, hopefully. Are you all right? I'm fine. I'm just remembering. Good things or bad things? Well, all memories are bad, she said immediately, then looked away, blushing. He settled down next to her. Storms, his overt concern was annoying. She didn't want him worrying about her. Shallan, he asks. Shallan will be fine, she says. I'll bring her back in a moment. I'll just have to recover her. Adolin glanced at the fluttering pages with the different versions of her. He reached out and hugged her, saying nothing, which turned out to be the right thing to say.
Shallan will be fine. I'll bring her back in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to recover her.
Her.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
We don't know who said that either. It could have been Radiant. It could have been Vale. We don't know.
Yeah, Shallan's getting more interesting. The onion that is Shallan is continually being peeled.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say what's going on there.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the complexity of the character, like this could be, you know, Shallan could be something entirely different than what we think.
Right.
However, I mean, we do have a backstory. We do have a past.
Yep. We know some of her trauma. We know most of her trauma, to be honest.
Right.
She's not willing to accept it.
I'm not going
to
go too far down that hole, I don't think.
Right.
I love this line. He reached out and hugged her, saying nothing, which turned out to be the right thing to say.
Right.
I want that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
She closed her eyes and tried to pull herself together. Which one do you like most? She said. She finally asked. Vale is the one who wears the white outfit, but I'm having trouble with her right now. She peeks out sometimes when I don't want, but then won't come out when I need her. Radiant is the one who practices with the sword. I made her prettier than the others. And you can talk to her about dueling, but some of the time I'll have to be someone who can light weave. I'm trying to think of who she should be. Ash's eyes, Shallan. Shallan's broken, so I think I'm trying to hide her, like a cracked vase, where you turn the nice side toward the room, hiding the flaw. I'm not doing it on purpose, but it's happening, and I don't know how to stop it. He held her. No advice? She asks. Everyone always seems to have loads. Well, you're the smart one. What can I say? Well, it's confusing being all these people. I feel like I'm presenting different faces all the time, lying to everyone, because I'm different inside. That doesn't make sense, does it? She squeezed her eyes shut again. I'll pull it back together. I'll be someone. He pulled her tight again as the ship rocked. Shallan, I killed Sadeus. What?
Yeah.
I killed Sadeus. We met in the corridors of the tower. He started insulting Father and talking about the terrible things that he was going to do to us, and I couldn't listen anymore. I couldn't stand there and look at his smug red face, so I I attacked him. So all that time we were hunting a killer, it was me. I'm the one the Spren copied the first time. I kept thinking about how I was lying to you and to Father and to everyone. The Honorable Adolin Colin, the consummate duelist. A murderer. And Shallan, I don't think I'm sorry.
Yes, I love
Dude,
it.
Dude, so good. I don't
love
think
it.
I'm sorry.
So
he just completely owns it.
Before we just continue here, we have to acknowledge the fact that Shallan has told Wit about the personas.
Yeah.
But this is the first time she's telling, like, an actual someone. Like, telling Wit your stuff doesn't necessarily really mean anything. Mm-hmm. It's great that he pops in and out, but, like, he's not really around enough for it to matter.
No.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She's telling potentially the person she's going to marry about her,
right.
about her issues, her personas. So, as I think that as much as the I killed Sadeus revelation here is amazing, let's not overshadow how big it was for Shallan to tell Adolin about her personas.
I'm not even sure, to be honest with you, that in this moment, that it was the first time that she's expressed her fracturing. What I sort of took from this is as she's like telling him what's frustrating to be these people and him holding her and comforting her, it kind of seems like they've had time, even in Shadesmar, on this voyage to be talking about this.
Maybe.
So I in some ways, I'm not even sure if it's the first time that she's brought it up, because if it was the first time, he might have more questions. But he doesn't. He just listens and he holds her.
He might know that she uses Vale as a disguise, but mm-hmm. she's telling him there's more than that happening here. I'm fractured. I am these different people. Mm-hmm. I created another persona to duel with you, to get close to you. Like, that's another step, like, beyond I used it as a disguise a few times. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
But he seems to, like, his reaction to it here seems very in the realm of understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He doesn't fire back any questions. And if it was the first time I'm hearing this,
yeah,
I'm going to have a lot of questions about this. I'm going to want to know what? So you're telling me that when you behave like this, it's another person?
Right. Like, it is very possible.
If you actually don't know about it, I'm bringing this up because I thought about this as I was reading it. I was thinking, well, is this the first time, or is this just more of Shallan and Adolin sharing, and he decides, all right, you know what? I'm gonna share this.
It is definitely possible that they've had this, maybe not as honest as this, but a close right. approximation of this conversation before about her. I tend to believe that it's not, because it hasn't been on the page. So if it's not on the page,
yeah,
it doesn't
it hasn't
happen.
Been on
or
the
if
page,
they don't but... refer to it on the page having happened already, then it doesn't really happen. But I can get behind the possibility.
I'm all
that
about
maybe,
what's not on the page.
Yeah, maybe they have had this conversation before, but she is definitely not. He's definitely not talked about Sadeus before. So that is definitely
no,
a new revelation.
Definitely not. That is definitely new. Yeah. Sadeus was a monster. He says he repeatedly tried to get us killed. His betrayal caused the deaths of many of my friends. When I formally challenged him to a duel, he wiggled out of it. He was smarter than me, smarter than Father. And he'd have won eventually, so I killed him.
He would have won eventually.
Yeah.
I love the realization there. Sadeus was too fucking smart. He would have won.
Too smart. And that's, I mean, that's a really interesting thing in and of itself. Is, I guess, you know what? When it comes down to it, it's self-preservation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, where's your sense of honor there? I mean, do you derive honor by a preemptive strike for your own perceived preservation?
Yeah.
So you perceive your own self-preservation. You're going to act in such a way to, I guess, prevent any further harm to you or mm-hmm. those you love and
yep.
care about.
It's
so
a
then
threat.
Where honor
he
fit,
may not
fit
have been physically threatening in that moment,
right.
but he was threatening the downfall of his whole family.
And again, this goes back, we've talked about this, goes back to the study of ethics,
right,
and the study of,
right,
the morality, lesson. and it's not an easy thing. This is not a black and white,
no,
like, oh, Adolin absolutely acted correctly.
Right.
Actually, no, there's a huge conversation to be had on that. Shallan says, good for you. Shallan, you're a radiant. You're not supposed to condone something like this. Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I only know that the world is a better place for the death of Toral Sadius. Now, that sounds like Vale, I think, a little bit there.
I think it's Shallan. I think it's Shallan present,
really?
Right now. Yeah, because it says, Shallan shivered, then whispered. And then after that, he says, Father wouldn't like it if he knew. Your father's a great man, Shallan said. So Shallan,
yeah,
is in this conversation, I think.
Who is perhaps better off not knowing everything for his own good.
Right.
Adolin breathed in again with her head pressed to his chest. The air moving in and out of his lungs was audible, and his voice was different, more resonant. Yeah, he said, yeah, maybe. In any case, I think I know what it's like to feel like you're lying to the world. So maybe if you figure out what to do, you could tell me.
Mm-hmm.
She leaned into him and, listening to his heartbeat, his breathing, she felt his warmth. You never did say, she whispered, which one you prefer. Well, it's obvious. I prefer the real you. Well, which one is that, though? Well, she's the one I'm talking to right now. You don't have to hide, Shallan. You don't have to push it down. Maybe the vase is cracked, but that only means it can show what's inside. And I like what's inside.
Adolin for the
Dude,
win,
come
man.
On. Highlight. I mean,
yeah,
come on. The cracked vase is
yeah,
the highlight. I mean,
it's
come
great.
On.
Yeah.
So warm, comfortable, and strikingly unfamiliar. What was this piece? This place without fear? Noises from above spoiled it. Pulling back, she looked toward the upper deck. What is that bridge boy doing up there? Let me get a little POV change.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I mean, amazing. That bit there. I mean, there's been some really good bits in this. Like,
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, the vase cracked. What was the other one? He reached out and hugged her, saying nothing, which was exactly the right thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Okay, so POV, sir, the misty sailor, Spren says, and broken Alethi, sir, not, please not. Kaladin ignored her. Looking through the spyglass he'd taken from the chain nearby, he stood on the rear section of the high deck, searching the sky. That fused had watched them leave Celebrant. The enemy would find them eventually. Dalinar alone, surrounded by 9 shadows. Kaladin finally handed the spyglass to the anxious Misprin. The captain of the ship, in a tight uniform that probably would have been uncomfortable on a human, approached and dismissed the sailor, who scuttled away. I would prefer, Captain Notum said, if you would refrain from upsetting my crew. I would prefer that you let Syl go, Kaladin snaps. As I told you, the Stormfather had condoned what she did. There is no crime. The tall Spren clasped his hands behind his back. Of all the Spren they'd interacted with on this side, the Honor Spren seemed to share the most human mannerisms. I could lock you away again, the captain said, or even have you tossed overboard. Yeah? And what would that do to Syl? She told me that losing a bonded Radiant was hard on their Spren. True. But she would recover. And it might be for the best. Your relationship with the ancient daughter is inappropriate. It's not like we eloped. No, it's worse. As the nail bond is far more intimate a relationship. The linking of spirits. This is not a thing that should be done lightly, unsupervised. Besides, the ancient daughter is too young. So, whoa, this sounds like they have a bond that's like, I don't know, kind of more than I think I was thinking.
Yeah. It's funny because,
like, it seems like they're like really intrinsically connected.
There was
here.
A huge discussion. We made some jokes in a few episodes ago about like, would, like, shipping Syl and Kaladin, and, like, you know, could they, like, be together because, you know, she's physical
yeah.
in this world or whatever. And
yeah.
We got a lot of pushback from some of the people on Discord because apparently she's an ancient being, but she's very young in personality, and it feels a little icky to some people. I think, you know, where your idea from it is coming from, which is where I'm coming from too, is this whole idea of like Tinkerbell and Peter Pan and this unrequited love of Tinkerbell.
It can be playful, unrequited, unknown, unmined, if you will. Yeah. It's like, you're not sure what's there because you're never gonna dig for it.
I like shipping them for jokes. Like, I really just like the idea of like a spren and a person getting it on. I think it's hilarious. But I also don't
I'm not even so much interested in that as I am interested in the two of these beings like sharing something.
Right. And like what Notam is telling us here is that they do share something even more intimate than what we previously understood.
Right.
Which is really cool. Like, and he's saying she might not have been ready for this type of bond.
Right.
And Cal's like, what are you talking about? She's ancient. You just said she's ancient. So yeah, it's interesting that they're closer than we've even
didn't
really
you just call
realized.
Her ancient?
Yeah.
It would be difficult to explain to a human. We'll try anyway. That's also a little highlight of mine.
Yeah.
You know, it's someone saying, oh, you'll never understand.
Yeah.
Well, how about you try?
Yeah, because you're never going to know if I will or not.
I like that from Kaladin. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. The Honor Spren were created by Honor himself many thousands of years ago. You call him the Almighty, and I'm afraid he's dead. Which makes sense, as it's pretty much the only excuse I would have accepted. That wasn't levity, human. Your god is dead. Not my god, but please continue. Well, Notam frowned. He'd obviously thought the concept of Honor's death would have been more difficult for Kaladin to accept. Well, sometime before his death, Honor stopped creating Honorspren. We don't know why, but he asked the Stormfather to do it instead.
Mm-hmm.
He was setting up an heir. I've heard that the Stormfather is a kind of image of the Almighty. More like a weak shadow, Notam said. You actually understand this? Understand? No. Follow? Mostly. I like that.
Me too.
The Stormfather created only a handful of children, and all of these, save Silfrenna, were destroyed in the Recreants, becoming dead eyes. This loss stung the Stormfather, who didn't create again for centuries. When he was finally moved to remake the Honor Spren, he created only 10 more. My great-grandmother was among them. She created my grandfather, who created my father, and who eventually created me. It was only recently, even by your reckoning, that the ancient daughter was rediscovered, asleep. So in answer to your question, yes, Silfrenna is both old and young. Old of form, but young of mind. She is not ready to deal with humans, and certainty not ready for a bond. And certainly not ready for a bond. I wouldn't trust myself with one of those. You think we're too changeable, don't you? And that we can't keep our oaths.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no highspren, the captain spat. I can see that the variety of humankind is what gives you strength. Your ability to change your minds, to go against what you once thought, can be a great advantage, but your bond is dangerous without honor. There will not be enough checks upon your power. You risk disaster.
I like this a lot. I really, really like
what,
this.
You risked
the idea that the human's ability to change their minds about something is like one of our greatest power. Yeah.
But it makes the bond dangerous.
And it makes the bond dangerous. Yeah.
Makes the bond dangerous.
Right.
Notam shook his head and then looked away off in the distance. I cannot answer, he says. You should not have bonded Silfrenna. Either way, she is too precious to the Stormfather. Well, regardless, Kaladin says, you're about half a year too late, so you might as well accept it. Not too late. Killing you would free her. Though it would be painful for her, there are other ways, at least until the final ideal is sworn. I can't imagine you'd be willing to kill a man for this, Kaladin says. Tell me truthfully, is there honor in that, Notam? He looked away, as if ashamed. You know Syl shouldn't be locked away like this, Kaladin says. You're an honor sprint too, Notam. You must know how she feels. The captain didn't speak. Finally, Kaladin gritted his teeth and strode off. The captain didn't demand that Kaladin go down below, so he took up a position at the very front of the high deck, hanging out over the bow. With one hand on the flagpole, Kaladin rested a boot on the low railing overlooking the sea of beads. He wore his uniform today, since he'd been able to wash it on the previous night. Honor's Path had good accommodations for humans, including a device that made a great deal of water. The design, if not the vessel itself, probably stretched back centuries to when Radiance traveled Shadesmar with their Spren. Oh, that's really cool, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, really cool.
Beneath him, the ship creaked as sailors shifted her heading. To the left, he could see land, Longbrow's Straits. On the other side, which they'd find Thalen City, tantalizingly close. Technically, he was no longer Dalinar's bodyguard, but storms during the Weeping, Kaladin had nearly abandoned his duty. The thought of Dalinar needing him now, while Kaladin was trapped and unable to help, brought a pain that was almost physical. He'd failed so many people in his life.
There it is. There's that spiral, right?
Mm-hmm.
That downward spiral that we talk about with Cal sometimes.
Life before death, strength before weakness, and journey before destination. Together, these words formed the first ideal of the Windrunners. He'd said them, but he wasn't certain he understood them. The second ideal made more direct sense. I will protect those who cannot protect themselves. Straightforward, yes, but overwhelming. The world was a place of suffering, and was he really supposed to try to prevent it all? I will protect even those I hate, so long as it is right. The third ideal meant standing up for anyone, if needed. But who decided what was right? Which side was he supposed to protect?
Right.
And how does that come into play with Adolin?
What do you mean?
Protect those you hate? You hate Sadeus.
Right, but he's not a Windrunner, though.
I know, I'm just saying.
It's the one good thing about not being Radiant.
It's that you can kill Sadeus if you need to.
Yeah.
Oof, just dodged a bullet with that Windrunner crap.
It's funny, I was thinking about being a Radiant, but then I was like, you know what? I want to kill Sadeus.
I won't be able to kill people whenever I want to.
Right. I love this next part. This next part here is my highlight of the chapter.
The fourth ideal was unknown to him. But the closer he drew to it, the more frightened he became. What would it demand of him? Something crystallized in the air beside him. A line of light, like a pinprick in the air that trailed a long, soft luminescence. A mist-spren sailor near him gasped and then nudged his companion. She whispered something in awe, and then both of them scrambled away. What have I done now? A second pinprick of light appeared near him, spinning, coordinated with the other. They made spiral trails in the air. He'd have called them Spren, but they weren't any that he'd seen before. Besides, Spren on this side didn't seem to vanish and appear. They were always here, weren't they? Kaladin, a voice whispered in his head. Syl, he whispered. What are you doing? It was rare that he heard her directly in his mind. Standing on the deck, what happened? Nothing. I can just feel your mind right now. Stronger than usual. They let you out? Yes. I've tried to get them to set you free. They're stubborn. It's an honor spren trait, which I fortunately escaped. Syl, what is the fourth ideal? You know you have to figure that out on your own, silly. It's going to be hard, isn't it? Yes, but you're close.
This is the part that I, earlier that I equated to us having already covered it, but it was because I had just read it in preparation for this episode. But isn't that wonderful? It's going to be hard, isn't it?
It's going to be hard, isn't it?
And she's like, yes, you're close. It's so good, dude. Yeah. It's so awesome.
He leaned forward, watching the Mandras float beneath them. A small flock of glorious wrens zipped past. They took a moment to fly up and spin about him before heading to the south, faster than the ship. The strange pinpricks of light continued to whirl around him. Sailors gathered behind, making a ruckus until the captain pushed through and gaped. "What are they?" Kaladin asked, nodding toward the pinpricks of light. "Windspren."
Cool.
Nudging things along. Oh, they did remind him a little of the way windspren would fly on gusts of wind. They're common. Why is everyone so upset? Well, they're not common on this side, the captain said. They live on your side almost completely. I've never seen them before, but they're beautiful. Perhaps I haven't been giving Notum enough credit, Kaladin thought. Perhaps he would listen to a different kind of plea.
Something,
Captain.
Something very specific
what?
Just happened, and we don't know what it means yet, but somehow Kaladin was able to manifest a spren.
Windspren?
In Shadesmar that never come to Shadesmar.
So you think he pulled them there?
He's ruminating about the ideals, and then he's thinking about them just like when someone feels glory, a glory spin will come around. And like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was such a powerful pull that his mind was making that it must have pulled these wind spren through to Shadesmar. These spren here, honor spren and these mist spren have never seen these before. They've never seen a wind spren on this side. It's something pretty magical just happened.
Well, he is a windrunner.
He is a windrunner, yeah. It's really, really cool, dude.
So he has the wind with him at all
times.
Yeah,
it's really, really awesome.
Captain, I have taken an oath as a windrunner to protect, and the bondsmith who leads us is in danger. Bondsmith? Which one? Dalinar Colan. No, which bondsmith of the three? I don't know what you mean, Kaladin said, but his spren is the Stormfather. I told you I'd spoken to him. It seemed from the captain's aghast expression that perhaps Kaladin should have mentioned this fact earlier.
Right?
I must keep my oath, Kaladin says. I need you to let Syl go, and then take us to a place where we can transfer between realms. I've sworn an oath myself, the captain says, to honor, and to the truths that we follow. Honor is dead, Kaladin said, but the bondsmith is not. You say that you can see how human variety gives us strength. Well, I challenge you to do the same. See beyond the letter of your rules. You must understand that my need to defend the bondsmith is more important than your need to deliver Syl, especially considering that the Stormfather is well aware of her location. The captain glanced at the windspren, which were still spinning about Kaladin, leaving trails that drifted the entire length of the ship before fading. I will consider, the captain said.
And these windspren are just, like, they're surrounding Kaladin. Like, they're not just around, they're surrounding Kaladin.
Right.
It's, yeah. You know what it makes me think of a little bit?
It's pretty
amazing.
It
makes me think of the beginning of this book, when he's trying to escape becoming a slave, when he's, like, with the Parshendi, when he's with the Parshmen, and they're,
yep.
And then he like has to leave, and he does this thing where he throws his arms out, and this gust of windspren like part the way in front of him, and it's just like hundreds of windspren kind of like at his command. It's friggin' cool, man. Like, it's so cool.
We do get one. Is this the final one?
This is the final POV here. Yeah.
Okay. Our final POV. We're back to Adolin. And he stops at the top of the steps just behind Shallan. Kaladin, the storming bridgeman, stood at the bow of the ship, surrounded by glowing lines of light. They illuminated his heroic figure, determined, undaunted, one hand on the prow's flagpole, wearing his crisp Walguard uniform. The ship's spren gazed upon him as if he were a storming herald, come to announce the reclamation of the Tranquiline Halls. And just ahead of him, Shallan seemed to change. It was in her bearing, the way she stopped resting slightly on one foot and stood solidly on the 2 feet instead, the way her posture shifted. And the way that she seemed to melt upon seeing Kaladin, lips rising to a grin, blushing. She adopted a fond, even eager, expression. Kaladin breathed out slowly. He'd caught those glimpses from her before, and seen the sketches of Kaladin in her book. But looking at her now, he couldn't deny what he was seeing. She was practically leering.
Yeah.
I need to draw that, she says, but she just stood there instead, staring at him. Adolin sighed and made his way up to the high deck. Seemed they weren't forbidden here any longer. He joined Pattern, who had come up another set of steps and was humming happily to himself. Kinda hard to compete with that, Adolin noted. Pattern said. You know, I've never really felt like this before. It's not just Kaladin, it's all of this. And what's happening to us? He shook his head. We certainly are an odd bunch. Yes, seven people. Odd. I love that they took it literally. Like,
yeah.
You know, there are seven of you.
It's great because we've inferred what odd means to us in these series. And Adolin is saying we're an odd bunch. And then Pattern takes it into a completely different thing that any, like, neither of us probably. Because when we're reading it's odd, so we're funny. Like, oh, maybe something special is happening. And Adolin is just really meaning, like, kind of a weird bunch. I love this. Yeah, seven people. Odd.
What do you think of the beginnings of the thing I've been fearing all along with this
jealousy
thing?
And the I told you, man, I don't like it.
What if it becomes?
I don't like it.
I don't like it either, because it's a lot to ask of Adolin to keep track of Shallan. Because okay, you're saying it's Shallan all the time. Let's say I'm saying she's still splintered. I'm still seeing parts of one being, if you will.
I'm absolutely believing this.
When she's standing, looking at Kaladin and leering, it's like, I don't really want to accept that it's Shallan doing that.
It's not Shallan.
It could be. However, before the splintering was really more prominent with Vale, Kaladin and Shallan did have the chasm. They did have the alcove.
Right. Though,
and
I'm going to say that in this moment, when she changes her posture and is leering at him, that's Vale for sure. Earlier, during the conversation with Adolin, that was purely Shallan. And that's all I meant when I said, no, this is Shallan. I do believe she's shifting back over, like back and forth and back and forth. But in that moment earlier when he said, you know, I killed Sadeas, that was purely Shallan that was talking to him. That's when he said, this is the one I like, the you.
Good for you.
Right? Good for you. That's, I think that's
good
still
show.
Shallan. Yeah. But this here,
good
the leering
show,
is
Jack.
Definitely Vale.
Yeah, I mean, I want to believe that, but I have to admit, it's a lot to ask of Adolin too.
Yeah, the thing
to
too
be
that,
dealing with all of this.
The thing that I don't like about it is repeatedly Adolin has gone out of his way for Kaladin,
for Cal. Yeah,
you know what I mean. And
I
so
know.
It makes me feel sad because, you know, I told you already, I like friendship. I like it when people are friends.
I know, me too.
You know?
I like it too. And I love the bromance between Adolin and Kaladin. I just want to see that get stronger.
Me too.
And I like what Shallan and Adolin have. I think it should be stronger.
Me too.
And I also like the veneration or admiration or whatever you want to call it between Shallan and Kaladin.
Right. Me too.
And it does not have to include anything romantic, as we've talked about. So hopefully all of this will go in a positive direction. I just don't know that our wonderful Brandon, Mr. Sanderson, is he planting?
Right.
Is he seeding things? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Yes, seven people, odd, Pattern says.
Yeah.
It's not like I can blame him. It's not as if he's trying to be like he is. I like that from Adolin too, because he's acknowledging, look, he is this.
He can't
so
help
here
it.
I am looking at this
and he's
silhouette.
Not flaunting
he's got these.
It.
Yeah, he's just. This is what he is. He's a hero.
Yeah, he just is a hero.
He just is a hero.
Yeah.
I'm looking at him, and that's it. Nearby, but he could use a new tailor.
Right, he really does. He needs a new tailor.
Yeah, he looks like a hero, but
yeah. Yeah, he just doesn't dress like
what
one.
What he's wearing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Nearby, a sailor Spren, one of the few who hadn't gathered around Stormblessed, in his halo of glowing lights, lowered a spyglass, and she frowned and then raised it again. And then she began to call out in the Spren language. People tore themselves away from Caladan and crowded around. Adolin stepped back, watching until Caladan and Shallan joined him. Azure crested the steps nearby, looking concerned. What is it? Caladan asked. No idea, Adolin says. The captain waved for the Misspren and Honorspren to make space, and then he took the spyglass. He finally lowered it and looked back at Caladan. You were right, human, when you said you might be followed. Look low on the horizon at 210 degrees. Caladan looked through the spyglass and then breathed out. He extended it toward Adolin and Shallan, but Shallan snatched it first. Storms, she said. There's at least six of them. Eight, my scout says, the captain replied. Adolin finally got his turn. Because of the black sky, it took him forever to spot the distant specks flying toward the ship. The fused.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
So the enemy is approaching.
What a great chapter.
It's a really good chapter.
The enemy is approaching, and wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's Kraza.
This was a great chapter.
It was a good chapter.
Really good chapter. I loved it.
What's your highlight?
It's kind of like the previous one. It's kind of speckled. There's like, you know, I love those few moments. He held her.
Yeah.
Didn't say anything, and that's the right thing to say.
Right.
Love that. The broken vase.
Yeah, that's nice too.
Really love that.
Really great imagery there.
I love what he said to her. Yeah. I love what he said. Yeah, when if she's broken, it's because I can see inside, and I like what I see inside.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing.
That's really good.
Come on,
Adolin with the smooth moves here.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to choose Adolin and his confiding in her. I think it showed the vulnerability. I think was good, and the way she handled it was surprising. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically she said, well, that's a good job done there.
Yeah, good for you.
Good for you. Yeah. I can't help but feel that in some ways Caladan going over the ideals is to get us to try to go, well, how does that go with Adolin and what he's done?
Right.
That's what I feel personally, mm-hmm. but whatever.
That's my highlight.
What about your highlight?
Yeah, when Cal kind of rethinks about the ideals, and then these Windsprens show up, and then he just asks Syl, like, "What is the fourth ideal?" And she's like, "You know, I can't tell you." And then he asks, "It's going to be hard, isn't it?" And then she says, "Yes, you're close." I wrote in my highlights that "you're close" is my highlight of the chapter.
Yeah,
I just love that.
You're close.
It's so great. But, like, it's a kind of thing where, you know, he's close, but he's admitted that it's going to be hard. And so, like, it's not something you might necessarily want, you know?
It's going to be hard for him to undertake.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really good, man. It's Sanderson lays it out so well. It's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah, another really good chapter.
Yeah.
Let's say thank you to Buzzkill Joe for all the work he does on the info dump, and
our
let's get
info
to his
dump.
What? Sorry, what was that song?
I said our info dump.
That's a new one. That's a brand new one. Gone are the days of the stealing fabric land.
Oh, the info dump.
Info dump. Gone are those days. It's because we got sued by fabric land. So,
we got sued by Fabricland.
Yeah. Chapter 108, Honor's Path. He starts off here with Honor's Path. It's a large Honor Spren ship that feels like a war vessel to carry troops, and it has a hydrator capable of making lots of water, which is really, really cool. Unyielding Fidelity, what an awesome name for like a fortress.
It's an awesome name.
It's an awesome. Yeah. It's
awesome.
It's
maybe that's for something that's not awesome. It's, you go, oh,
ew, that's not
yikes. No, that's awesome, dude.
Unyielding Fidelity is a Honor Spren stronghold near Carbranth in the physical realm. So that means they're like kind of close to there, which is cool. Icingway River, the river peninsula that should have blocked our way, but the Spren seemed to have cut across a canal through the stone, weaving around Icingway River, which swung west again. So just giving us a little bit of a description of where we might be. Captain Notum, he's a tall, imperious-looking honor Spren, wears an outdated naval uniform. Boria is the ship's first mate, and she made a deal with Azure for information. Fortune with a capital F. I don't mean to be Cal Shallan. I realize you're all eager to return to your lands. I can't even believe that through some tide of fortune, Kaladin Stormbless has foreseen some danger. So, Azure seems to admit that maybe he has seen something here, but, she's still too busy, thinking about her own mission. Miss Spren, Spren made entirely amiss, save for the hands and the face. Honor Spren mannerisms of all the Spren they interact on this side. They've interacted with this side. The Honor Spren seem to share the most like human mannerisms, and they seem to not get along with High Spren. Shadesmar spheres. Mm. You can carry them anywhere in Shadesmar you wish. Their tie is in the spiritual realm, so you would drop them, let them free, and then they'll work their way back to where the general location is in Shadesmar, to where their physical representation is, which is really cool. I love this part here where Azure's blade is don't pull her out all the way. She doesn't know you, which is really cool. A shard blade that requires no Spren and no enslavement. And then we got this awesome reveal that Azure's bounty is a weapon, a shard blade that bleeds black smoke, which we know is most likely Sword Nimi in the possession of Zeth, which is friggin' cool. Windspren in Shadesmar, something crystallized in the air, a line of light, a pinprick in the air that trailed long, soft luminescence. So awesome, so cool. He's got something on Chemorish here, this unmade. Though Chemorish is new, Dust Mother as a term has been used as a swear in Bavlan before. This is from Way of Kings. I am forbidden to take my own life, Zeth said softly in the Bav language. As truthless, it is the nature of my suffering to forbid the taste of death by my own hand. And then someone says, Dust Mother. Tan said he always talks like that. So Dust Mother is in the vernacular, much like a lot of the other heralds and unmade are kind of in the vernacular, but we just haven't actually heard the name Chemorish yet, which is what kind of what we suspected. Last here. Sorry, I'm just trying to see if this is stuff that I can tell you.
You may not, because we're getting dangerously close to the end of this part four.
Very much so, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. So some of this stuff I can't tell you. So, so that's the end of the info dump. Thank you very much to Buzzkill Joe for all the hard work he does. We really appreciate it. Since we have a couple of seconds here, I wanted to... we kind of got out of the habit of reading all the patrons, and we've got a lot of patrons now on Patreon that I think that we don't really have time for me to go through over 200 names. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read the most recent names, and then maybe that will be satisfactory. We'd like to welcome to the Patreon team Dustin and Jeremy Kudlak, Joseph Peachy, He Who Walks Behind, and Shayla. So thank you very much for joining the Patreon. We really appreciate it.
Wow.
It's really awesome to have you. If you're interested in joining the Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/heroesof. Like we said, we have a live read coming up very soon, and there's probably going to be one or two of them in part five coming up as well. So
really?
I haven't really figured it out yet. I still have to talk to Buzzkill Joe about what he thinks, but I think there's going to be at least multiple in part five.
Wow.
Traditionally, we have done
nervous
epilogue live read, regardless of whether or not there's anything going on in the epilogue now. I think that's become kind of ritual for us to do. So it's potentially three in part five that we're going to do. But if you want to be present at any of those, you definitely want to get the Discord link, and you can do that at patreon.com/heroesof. If you want to reach out to us and tell us you think that we're wrong or that we're right about something, you can always do that at heroesofacathra@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at the Storm Pod, or just reply to any of the posts that we make in the Stormlight Archive subreddit. subreddit that's there too. A lot of chatter going on our show in that subreddit too. So it's awesome. You can reach out to us on Instagram at the Storm Pod or on the Facebook group, which doesn't really get much use because I'm never on there. But anyways, thank you so much for listening to the show, everyone. We are doing two chapters next, 109, 110, and then after that, that's when we're going to do the live read. So we've got one more week and then in the live read. So anyways, I'm super excited for it. I can't wait to get done part four. It's looming. It's so close, dude. Anyways,
I'm ready.
Yeah, that's great. So thank you very much for listening, everyone. We love you very much. Until next time.
Take care, everybody.
The Storm Pod is brought to you by Heroes of. Music and theme song by Jack Forrest Productions. Additional music by Jason Moray. Produced by our wonderful Patreon team and the Heroes of Akathra.